The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And welcome to First Bite, the usual preview podcast with Pride of Detroit. PODcast, PrideOfDetroit.com, Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. I'm doing the usual introduction because I'm stepping in for Jeremy Reisman this week. I am Chris Perfett, your adequate, very adequate host. It is First Bite. It's our interview series. We are in free agency, which means we're going to talk about specific free agents as we move along here leading up to the NFL draft. And we're going to get started today with Bengals, former Bengals defensive tackle DJ Reader. We will explain in a second, but first, Ryan Matthews, my man, the editor at PrideOfDetroit.com, at Ryan_POD, rock god. Hello, Ryan.
Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm hanging. We are hanging. How about that? I have a new game day chalice. It is a Honolulu Blue Tiki mug, and it's already filled up for today because we are toasting our guest here. Mike Santagata from is our Bengals expert here today. Hello, Mike.
Hey, how's it going? I'll pretend the first one didn't happen.
Yeah, it's fine. This stuff happens. You write for All Bengals and co-host of It's Always Game Day in Cincinnati. So welcome. I believe this is your second time on the show. First time with me, which is the just you're getting to know the unprofessional side of us.
It's the second time. Yeah, I did way back in the Bengals-Lions game is at Burrow's second year and the year the Bengals went to a Super Bowl. And we had no idea that the Bengals were a Super Bowl team. I remember going on and being like, I think they could beat this Lions team, but you know, they're not the greatest team.
Both our teams definitely had a bit of a glow up since that time. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah. We want to bring you on to talk about DJ Reader, formerly of the Cincinnati Bengals, drafted by the Texans, in 2016 out of the University of Clemson, been playing for Bengals since 2020. Now signing this offseason with the Detroit Lions. As always, I usually get nothing but good things from some of my friends who are Bengals fans talking about DJ Reader. I know he was a bit of a hot commodity on the market out there. What can you tell us about his time at Cincinnati?
He was incredible. I mean, he was the first signing of like this Bengals era. So it kind of marked almost the end of the era where it was the year that they were eventually in a couple months afterward or a month after going to draft Joe Burrow and T. Higgins to kind of kickstart everything. And he was the first big signing. It kind of felt weird as anybody who followed the Bengals, like they're spending money and it's like on a defensive tackle. Okay. And he's been awesome. I don't think that there's a lot negative you can say. He's been everything that he asked for. He outplayed his contract with the Bengals. The injury stuff will get there, but you know, that is its own beast. I think sadly he missed out on extra money if he didn't get injured because he was still rocking at a really high level this past year before the injury. But overall, I think if you were a Bengals fan the past couple of seasons, he was one of the biggest factors on why this team became great, honestly. With how bad the two offenses were in that Super Bowl, I think there was a legitimate case that he could have been Super Bowl MVP because he had a sack and he almost single-handedly stopped the Rams' run game. The Rams had no run game in that game. And Brian Allen, I feel like, lost his contract because of how he did against DJ Reader in that game. So you could have made the case. I don't think anybody would have listened besides like me and a couple other people who cared about that. They would have given it to T. Higgins, 2 touchdowns if the Bengals won. But he was awesome in that game. He was awesome in that playoff run. Huge in stopping Derrick Henry in the divisional round. Just overall massive importance to the Bengals team the past 4 years.
Yeah, so if I can circle back to, you know, DJ Reader signs in the 2020 offseason, like you said, it seemed a little bit out of character for Cincinnati to be spending, you know, in free agency and on top of that, doing it on a defensive tackle. What kind of position was he immediately put in with the Bengals in terms of, was he a leader for that defense? Was he a guy who, you know, in his press conference, you know, for was signing with Detroit, he mentioned he's a more of a lead by example kind of guy. What kind of leadership qualities did he, you know, exhibit in Cincinnati, and especially going from, you know, a team in Houston to going to Cincinnati and kind of, you know, like you said, jumpstarting that rebuild? What was his role as kind of a leader?
Yeah, definitely a lead by example type, kind of the type that, I think he had a few quotes, can't remember exactly, but it was basically like, you know, you could talk all this, but what you do on the field is what matters. Showed it every week, consistently great play. And he may not have been as vocal. I feel like he's been really open and honest with the media. He's always been a good interview on that aspect of it. When it comes to leadership inside the locker room, I do think it was more of a lead by example. It always felt like they did have somebody else who might have been the rah-rah vocal guy. Not that he never was. He can get fired up. But I do think lead by example, as he described it, is probably the best way to describe his leadership style on the defense.
So there was a lot of noise from Bengals writers and people familiar with the Cincinnati Bengals about how great of a person he is. And just I think we had, what was the stuff from Joe Goodberry? Absolute joy to watch when healthy. He eats space, holds the point of attack, stack and shed blockers. So why what was really the reasoning for the Bengals to kind of move on from Reader? Was it just injury right there, or were there just other concerns, or was the money, or what have you?
They're a very risk averse team, I would say, in free agency. So when you've got a guy that's going to be 30 and he's coming off a quad tear, I think that leads itself into explaining why they didn't want to give him a lot of money. Now, why they hung on to it, like they thought they might be able to sign him, because they didn't look at any other defensive tackles until it was about a done deal in Detroit. I don't know. But yeah, I would say when you got the age and injury concerns combined, they don't like paying either one of those things. So when you've got both, if you're looking at a team that's, you know, they love them, but they are a team that is going to let somebody else, you know, handle that. And it could turn out great. Maybe the injury's serious and he's not going to recover as well and play at the same level, but they are not going to be the team to, you know, find out whether or not it's going to work out, I think. At least they're not going to put a lot of money into that.
So something that got brought up during DJ Reader's press conference here in Detroit was talking about his role as maybe being a mentor in Detroit to a young defensive tackle that the Lions drafted last season in Broderick Martin. Didn't get a lot of time last year. Broderick Martin was, he's very much a work in progress. But DJ Reader talked about, you know, in Houston, when he got to Houston, he played under Vince Wilfork. And I mean, what kind of guy would be better, you know, to learn under than somebody like Wilfork? Was there any opportunities that DJ had in Cincinnati where he kind of took on a mentor role, or was he more so a mentee? Geno Atkins still there in Cincinnati when DJ Reader got there? I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I'm pretty sure he was there his first year, but that, I think he got hurt or something. Like, he wasn't on the field very
often. Not a lot of overlap there in terms of field,
yeah,
right? Okay.
Yeah. Not too much mentorship, really, because they didn't have a ton of young defensive tackles. There's Zach Carter, but Zach Carter hasn't really developed. So I don't want to put that on DJ Reader. I mean, that's a defensive,
sure,
that's the whole staff. You know, like, that's not, yeah, on him. Maybe he's taking him under his wing a little bit, maybe not. I feel like he more so just kind of fit in as one of the peers, not really a mentee, because they didn't really have anybody in his position like a Vince Wilfork that was older than him, teaching him the ropes. Like, Geno wasn't really there at that time. Maybe Mike Daniels, his first year and a half, 2 years.
Former Lion.
Yeah. Another some more overlap for the Immaculate Grid people.
Yeah.
So maybe a little bit there, because Mike Daniels was a very vocal rah-rah leader. So maybe he's able to take some stuff from that. Otherwise, it felt like he was just kind of in the group. You know, you look at Trey Hendrickson and DJ Reader and Sam Hubbard, and that none of them were really mentoring or you know, teaching each other much, but they were all kind of lead by example and show their work on the field types.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, I have a quick follow-up to
that. Sure. Go on.
Usually like a little bit of a rhythm with Jeremy and I, we go back and forth. But so you bring up a couple of names right there. Sam Hubbard, you bring up Trey Hendrickson. I know the concern with a lot of Lions fans with the DJ Reader signing. I mean, they love it. But I think the one bit of trepidation they have is, well, the Lions really need a defensive end on the other side of Hutchinson. Like, they need somebody who can get after the, you know, get after the quarterback. Can you talk a little bit about what DJ Reader's game provides for those guys on the outside in terms of the kind of attention that he brings to the offense and making sure that they're stopping him up the middle and what that did for both Sam Hubbard's development and also for Trey Hendrickson, who's, you know, developed into one hell of a pass rusher in the NFL.
Yeah. I think with Reader, there is a little bit of pass rush when he's left one-on-one. I think when you look at some of the advanced metrics, pass rush, win rate, everything else, I could tell you last season and a little bit of the season before towards the end of the year, because of some injuries, he was probably the second best guy rushing the passer after Hendrickson. Now, that's also a little bit of a statement of what else was going on.
Sure. But yeah,
it's also like he can do it. Like, he can rush the passer a little bit. He even had a sack taken, maybe two sacks taken away from penalties this season. So it could have been even better numbers. I think what you're really looking at is that he's more of like a force multiplier, where he's, you know, head up right next to the center, whatever. He's going to take up the center and typically also a guard. And what that's going to do is, you've got so many resources on the offensive line when you're in pass protection. So two are taken up there. You're usually rushing four guys. There's four other offense. There's three other offensive linemen. So three offensive linemen for three guys. You're probably creating one-on-one situations, at least with offensive line, maybe through tight ends, whatever in there. But I feel like that is a help when you've got a guy that they're always going to kind of need a little bit of help. This is a big dude in your center, typically one of your smallest linemen. So you might need to, you know, keep the guard a little tight and close to try to help out there. I also think probably get them into more third and longs. I mean, one of the best things that he's going to give you is every week, as long as he recovers from the injury, every week going to give you awesome run defense. And I feel like he gives you the style of run defense that you can devote. We just talked about resource management, but more resource management. You could devote less resources to the run game now. You don't have to have a safety down in the box to get the same effect. When they played, when they played Derrick Henry, they always had a safety down there, but then, you know, the Titans weren't throwing the ball. But like, plenty of times they'll play both safeties back and just trust the front six to make the play against the six, you know, play even in the box, not plus one, because Reader's taken up two gaps. He's taken up the both A gaps in the situation, or an A and a B gap, just able to allow you to devote more resources to your coverage, make your coverage tighter, and then that'll put teams in the third and longs. Ideally, I think he comes off the field in those third and longs more than not, just so you can get him some rest. Big guys, I don't like them play more than 60-65% of snaps personally. I feel like that's when they get hurt, but he'll get you into some good pass rush situations. And when they do throw the ball, when he's on the field, he typically can require a double team.
Yeah, I remember I was looking at the PFF grades he had for last year, and like, it's actually his pass rush was even better than his run defense, especially, you know, not a ton of sacks, but definitely someone who gets those kind of hurries. And I think that's how the Lions like to play. You know this, Ryan, like, this is how the Lions like to play their third downs. They just want you to in distance and really make a mistake at a key critical junction.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions are all kind of built on stopping the run and getting their opponents off schedule, get them behind the sticks, and forcing them into those, you know, third and passing situations that, you know, Mike is talking about, that Reader only makes even better. Like, the Lions were the number one defense in run defense DVOA last season. So, Chris, I think the thing I'm most excited about DJ Reader is that the Lions recognize that, like, complacency is not a place that they ever want to be. And they're willing to devote some more resources to, you know, Aleem McNeil is one hell of a player. You put DJ Reader next to him, that's quite the force.
I was going to say, like, this division's already changing its running backs. Yeah, I mean, Aaron Jones moves around, and suddenly you got Josh Jacobs in the division now, too. It's definitely, for the run game as well, something where you have to kind of keep up. We've talked about this before, like, might be more of a passing league, but it's definitely still an arms race to, you know, guarantee that teams in the division in the North are not going to get run on at any point.
Yeah, for sure.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what the Bengals kind of go from here. I know not as much interest to our listeners, but I know it was replacing Reader with Sheldon Rankins, I believe, was the move in free agency. You kind of expect things to be different, or like, is there something that you kind of look at? You look at Rankins and you think like, all right, he needs to do what to replace Reader for someone like the Bengals?
Well, they're going to, if that's the plan, they just need to kind of change the fronts they play, because I would not put Rankins in the Reader situation and expect similar results. I feel like Rankins, great pass rusher. I think he's a better pass rusher than Reader, even though I said Reader's a solid pass rusher. I think Rankins, I mean, if he was more consistent, he could be awesome. But as it stands, you know, he could beat high-end guys. You know, he was beating Chris Lindstrom, Kevin Zeitler, Alex Kappa a lot, as Bengals fans know, that he could take these guys on and win. So you're getting a guy that could be a really high-end pass rusher, okay run stopper, not good against double teams, which is the opposite of Reader. Reader going to every week provide clinic tape on how to take on double teams and just be an unmovable force. I would expect the Bengals to add another Reader type. Now, there's not much left. They interviewed Tyre Tart, and they didn't really vibe with it, so they didn't sign him. And it sounds like they're not going to sign him. So where do you go from there? Because that was really the last younger nose tackle out there. Maybe you just make a one-year deal with a guy, and you look into the draft. You've got Tavondre Sweat maybe in round two that they could look to replace him with. I don't think it'll just be they just take Rankins and expect him and BJ Hill to be able to perform the Reader role.
I think that was my last question, actually, to go back to Reader, was about kind of the years. Lions give him 2 years, absolutely short term. Like, from your read on Reader, how, like, is that the right move? It's, I mean, as you say, he's in his 30s here now. He's going to be 30 before the 2024 season, excuse me. So he'll be 31 by the time the Lions are done with him. And I just know this is kind of how the Lions do their contracts, are short term, but is there any concern in your mind, like, looking to him as he goes to his 30s, or you could expect him to keep playing for another 5-6 years, or is that the right move, just kind of going short term on him?
Yeah, it's tough, especially when you don't really can't tell what's going to happen. I think it's all based on that quad injury and then any injuries in the future. He's missed some games here and there. He actually had the same injury in 2020 and then came back and was awesome in 2021, but he's older now. So can you still come back at the same rate? I think all of that would factor into it. I think the 2-year deal is probably fine, because you're going to want to, I think eventually it gets to the point where you're kind of, eventually this is going to crater. Now, I think nose tackles, the closer you are to the ball, you look at these offensive tackles are playing until they're 38 now or something. So Tyron Smith's 36, still signing big deals. Trent Williams, best tackle in the league. He's 36, 37. He's been in the league forever. So you get look at DJ Reader, it's like he could play until he's mid, late 30s. I mean, Vince Wilfork was still a pretty effective guy pretty late in his career, in similar position. And some of these nose tackles, a lot of nose tackles don't drop off. When I looked into it, probably about age 32 is when the average nose tackle starts kind of falling off a little bit. But there's injuries related, and I feel like injuries are always going to be a factor into this. So I feel like with the risk involved, I think a 2-year deal is fine, and you can always extend that or whatever. If he plays at an awesome level this season, no injuries, and you're going to the next season, maybe you throw another deal, another year on the deal on. Bengals just did that with Trey Hendrickson, just extend 1 year, kind of lower the cap hit and keep him on the team for what might be a little bit cheaper because the market might get better.
Yeah. And so I guess that's my question, Mike, is seeing the deal that they gave to Rankins and the deal that Reader got from Detroit. And I know they're not a one-to-one swap, as you mentioned, but in the grand scheme of things, do you feel like, hey, the Bengals kind of missed an opportunity to do something short-term to get the band back together, because the Bengals have been a pretty good defense with Reader in the middle? Do you feel like the Bengals maybe missed the boat on this one, or do you feel like it was the right time to kind of move on?
Me personally, I feel like they missed the boat. I would have actually liked to sign Rankins and Reader and kind of try to recreate what they had in 2021 when they had Larry Ogunjobi, they had DJ Reader, and they had BJ Hill. So you finally replace that Larry Ogunjobi component of this. They never were able to find that. But now you lose DJ Reader. So now you're looking for the Reader replacement of this trio. And it's tough because you're spending a lot of money in that situation. Felt like they had the money to make that deal. Didn't feel like it was too risky. I feel like they'll regret it. But time will tell. Me personally, I am with the idea of like, I think you should have tried to a little harder to keep Reader around because I think he wanted to stay too, but they weren't giving him really a competitive offer.
Yeah. And I think he talked about that a little bit in his press conference too. He talked about just relationships and how they kind of change over time. And I don't think he was throwing any, you know, subliminals at Cincinnati's way, but kind of just change, you know, speaking to maybe the way that things kind of evolve or maybe devolve over time in terms of relationships and things like that. If I had one last question about DJ Reader as a player to kind of give your way, Mike, and something that I quote tweeted a compilation of like over 7 minutes of DJ Reader snaps that every Lions fan should go and watch right now, because you make it to like minute three and it's like, what can't this guy do? Because the pass rush stuff, like it happens. It happens in spurts, and there's flashes where it's like, holy smokes, like that guy is way too big to be blowing by players with you know the kind of speed and agility that he has. But man, as a run defender, like this guy's ability to hold off blocks and like just hold his ground, it's something really impressive. And I think that there was one snap against the Steelers. I'm not sure which year it was, but I mean, he takes on that double team and you're not moving the guy and he makes the play. But the question I have is, just how much versatility does he have along the defensive line? Because I saw him either, like you said, either he's a straight up nose. Or I even saw snaps where he was lined up outside the guard. Like, is that all part of his bag?
Yeah, I would say so. I think he's best when he's near the center, but there's situations that they wanted to put him over the guard, outside the guard. I can actually think of a specific one was the divisional round against the Titans, where they actually had a guy, he's off the team now, that was bigger than Reader. So they put him as the head up nose, and they put Reader at three tech, and he dominated that game. Whether it was against Roger Saffold or Nate Davis or whoever, he was just taking it to him. A big reason why the Titans couldn't get their run game going was because they had a guy that just kind of held point in the middle. Maybe he got moved a little sometimes even because he wasn't really a talented player, just big. And then Reader would just be dominating his solo block so well that he'd be in the backfield. It felt like every rush attempt. So that's in his bag. I would expect mostly to be over the center, but say you get a game plan, a situation, or it's going to happen every game too. I mean, guys just slide over sometimes. He could play outside there. It's not like he is a true zero nose tech kind of Vince Wilforky that really he's just there for that role. And then anytime you want to get a three tech out there, you're just going to take him off the field.
All right, Mike, where can the people find you at for all of your material if they want more Bengals talk?
I would follow the Twitter account, X account, whatever, at Bengals_Sands. If you don't have that, then I guess check out the work at All Bengals, Sports Illustrated. The web stuff is still going, even though the print stuff canceled. Or if you want to listen to my podcast, it's Always Game Day in Cincinnati.
That's right. And I'm sure we can hear your thoughts at some point about the ridiculous hip drop tackle rule change that the NFL is trying to really throw out here to just completely destroy football at this point.
Yeah, it'll be out there somewhere.
I don't like it. I feel like an old man when we suddenly screaming about the rule changes. They got me there, Ryan. They got me there.
It happens. It happens to all of us.
I know. What happened to the game I love? All right, we're going to get out of here for the podcast side of things. Mike, thank you for all of your input here, helping us get to know DJ Reader, the new Lions defensive tackle. Ryan, thank you for helping to carry the load here as Jeremy continues to sip Mai Tais at a beach somewhere in parts unknown. And for myself, I'm Chris Perfett, at Chris Perfett on Twitter. We'll see you Starside.